Thank you, and thanks everyone for being here today. Can you hear me okay? Good? Okay, yeah. I want to echo the appreciation for joining us over lunch. As I was introduced, my name is Holly Calhoun, and I work for the Public Health Institute, and I am the coordinator of the Healthy Farms, Healthy People Coalition. And I do not have any financial relationships or commercial interests relevant to this presentation to disclose. So first I want to give you a little bit of background on Farm to Fork. Farm to Fork is an interdisciplinary initiative between the Departments of Food and Agriculture, the Department of Public Health, and the Department of Education in California. And we actually recently passed legislation to fund the Office of Farm to Fork, which is really exciting to actually align these agencies in law and with the budget. I've been working with three projects of the Public Health Institute on a Farm to Fork initiative for the past year with Roots of Change, the Community Food and Justice Coalition, and Healthy Farms, Healthy People. And what we've been doing is really working to align different farm-to-fork entities. So we've been doing primarily trying to help local health departments connect with community-based organizations and food policy councils to better achieve mutual goals. So why is all this important in California? I'll just give you a little bit of background. California produces nearly half of the fruits, vegetables, and nuts grown in the United States. Yet we have a big problem when it comes to food insecurity. We have 17% of the workforce working in the food system, and we know that workers in the food system rely on food stamps at 1.5 times the rate of other workers. We have a 42% food insecurity rate. And only 55% of eligible Californians are participating in the SNAP or food stamp program. Meanwhile, 69% of low-income children participate in school lunch and 44% in 69% in school lunch and 44% in breakfast. So all this adds up to some bad health outcomes for us. We've got 57% of folks being overweight or obese, 22% with high cholesterol, 8% with diabetes, 6% with heart disease, and 25% with high blood pressure. So while we are producing all this good, healthy food that we all need to eat to be healthy, we're not doing such a good job of eating it or being healthy ourselves. So that's why it's really important that we work to improve our food environments and therefore improve those health outcomes. So our local health departments have been focusing more on policy systems and environment changes over the past few years. And part of those initiatives are really relying on community-based organizations who have been doing a lot of this work historically. So we've been really wanting to make sure that the health departments are aware of the initiatives that have been happening and know where they can connect in and be and support and learn from community organizations. And vice versa. So we've been doing a lot of this work with food policy councils. In California, we're fortunate to have the California Food Policy Council, which is a collaborative of, at this point, 26 ratified members. Roots of Change, which is a project of the Public Health Institute, acts as the backbone organization for the California Food Policy Council and really follows the collective impact approach. So when we started doing this work, we started looking at what are all the food policy councils doing, where are the opportunities for collaboration across councils, and with councils and their health departments and other entities that are concerned with community health. So we started doing, a little bit more background on the council. The California Food Policy Council is broken into three separate regions. So we started looking at the regions and how we could facilitate better collaboration in each region. And we did a series of key informant interviews with folks involved in the councils to really identify what the activities are that folks are working on and where are the opportunities ripe for collaboration. And I do want to put in a little plug here that the California Food Policy Council and Roots of Change just released on Monday the California Food Policy Council 2014. This is the second report on food policy legislation in California. So if this is something that's of interest to you, I recommend you check it out. But anyway, here's a sampling of kind of what we found when we interviewed all the food policy councils. So this focuses on Southern California. We had did a statewide convening, and then we had local or regional convenings among those three groups, and we really reached out to the local health departments to try to get them engaged in these meetings so we could sit down and look at what everybody's doing and identify those opportunities for collaboration. So here's a spectrum of what's happening in California, and you'll see a lot of the areas where folks are working from the Food Policy Council perspective: school food environments, food assessments and action plans, federal food assistance programs. These are areas where there's a lot of opportunity for local health departments to plug into these efforts, as there's a lot of overlap. So now I'm going to kind of highlight some examples of where we've seen great success in health departments and food policy councils working together. So in Los Angeles, they passed a few years ago the Good Food Purchasing Pledge, which is one of the most comprehensive procurement policies. And what's really notable about it is that it doesn't just address nutrition, though that's a very important part of it, but it also addresses other areas of the food system that are important to our health. It has a preference looking at local economies, trying to really boost the local economy to help improve, drive up, or reduce poverty rates, which really are contributing in a big way to our negative health outcomes. It's pushing for a more sustainable food system, which has environmental health benefits. It's pushing for a fair food system so that the workers who are producing our food have the ability to be healthy and have access to good food. And it's also pushing for a humane food system, so reducing reducing use of antibiotics in animal food production, and generally reducing also CAFOs and pollution and things like that that are associated with large-scale industrial agriculture. So the important thing about the Good Food Purchasing Pledge and how the health department was able to play a role in it was that the health department really drafted the nutrition guidelines of this purchasing pledge. So they were able to sort of influence their agenda by getting that inserted in the pledge. They also were able to provide sort of key support to getting the policy passed in ways that they were able to, and really led credibility to the whole policy by having their name behind it. At the same time, the county health department can now rely on the Food Policy Council to provide them with data and metrics that they're getting from the city of Los Angeles in terms of their procurement. So there's really benefits for both entities in collaborating here. And we also will note that there's a lot of interest now in the whole Southern California region of really looking at procurement as a way of collaborating with each other, which is really exciting, because if we look at trying to make food system change, we have several counties in California, in Southern California, working together, that's a lot of institutional buying power that can make really big changes. So in Northern California, there's a ton of activity, a lot of which are areas where the health departments are working and where they can plug into these efforts. One of the interests that folks had coming out of this Northern California meeting was in doing some work around their local elections and doing some candidate forums to learn from candidates about what they thought on food system issues. And one of the challenges we've come into in working with health departments and food policy councils has been that there's a lack of understanding on behalf of the health departments in terms of what they're able to do when it comes to food policy, right? Obviously, there's a lot of restrictions if you work for the government in terms of what you can actually do, and you know, you certainly can't do any lobbying activities or anything like that. What we found is that there's a lot of ways that food policy or that local health departments can plug into the work of the food policy councils that they are allowed to do in very appropriate ways, particularly in looking at providing evaluation support, doing research, providing a lot of the data that the advocates need in order to make their case and be informed about what policies they're pushing. And so the health departments have been really key in this way. So when we look at the candidate forums that were put on in different counties, in Humboldt County, instead of doing an actual forum, they sent out a survey to all of their potential candidates to find out what they thought about food system issues. And so the health department was able to provide a lot of data on food insecurity and other issues that are important in Humboldt County, and they were able to use the survey as an actual way of educating potential policymakers even before they came into office, as well as finding out what they thought about on certain issues. And this is a picture of a farm that's associated with a hospital up in Humboldt County, just for some backdrop. In Humboldt, they also were able to, they just recently came out with their community health improvement plan, and their approach to the community health improvement plan is actually really a collective impact approach, trying to get different organizations to take on different pieces of that. And the Humboldt County Food Policy Council is going to be the lead on two of their objectives around food access and decreasing food deserts and streamlining and coordinating efforts across the food system spectrum. So that's really exciting for the Department of Health and Human Services, who are looking for key agencies to take lead on certain parts of these their initiative. And it's helpful for the Food Policy Council in terms of starting to get some metrics and real sort of evaluative data on the issues that they're working on. And part of the way that they were able to agree to do this initiative as the Food Policy Council was from a history of sort of working together on food access issues. So having those sort of relationships built over years made it easy for them to say, okay, we will take this on this official kind of job of and responsibility of decreasing food deserts in our county according to this health improvement plan. Which really brings up a point around there's assessments and sort of action plans. Pretty much every food policy council that we work with has done some type of food system assessments that leads to some type of food action plan, or sometimes that's even leading to the council itself. We have hospitals that are doing their community health assessments. We know that our public health departments are doing various assessments. So there's a real opportunity to align our efforts around these assessments since we all have limited resources. A lot of the food policy councils, when they take on these assessments, it ends up being a really intensive process for them that takes them sort of a number of years to complete because they don't have a lot of background in this type of thing. So that's another way that the health department can really support the food policy councils, ultimately in a way that will improve people's health by getting the food policy councils then on board with some of these their initiatives and vice versa. Another great example of food policy councils and health working together was through the Mendocino County Approved Source Program. So they were able to pass this legislation with the Environmental Health Department, the County Department of Agriculture, and the Food Policy Council working collaboratively. And the Food Policy Council was really responsible for doing the community engagement, getting stakeholder input, doing convenings. That really made it easy for the health department then to get a lot of buy-in, both from the agriculture and the greater public. And this approved source code then helps us address some of the challenges we've had in California with being able to use school garden produce, for example, in their cafeteria. So this makes it easier not only for institutions to purchase from local farmers, but also for kids to be eating the food that they're growing themselves. And finally, we have the Great Valley Mountain Region. They have their regional meeting is upcoming, so they're a little bit behind the other areas, but they have been doing some good collaboration, particularly in Kern County, where they're collaborating with the public health and other nonprofits to identify vacant city lots that can be used for urban agriculture. So just to touch on a few other items, farm to fork, a lot of folks can, when they think of farm to fork, they think of just farm to school, and that is certainly a really big piece of it. It's not exclusively that, but it's certainly a really easy point for collaboration. So I want to highlight some initiatives. Pretty much all the food policy councils that we talked to were working on school food environments, 84%. And a lot of that is around school wellness policy implementation, which is particularly important because this is an area where the public health community can get these wellness policies on the books, but if nobody's enforcing it or implementing it, it's not really doing much. And we've found that in a lot of these communities, it really is just on paper. So by working with the food policy councils, the folks from public health can get some real community push to actually get these policies to mean something in their implementation. We also have, as I touched on before, a lot of interest on procurement policies and on farm-to-school programs as well, and Harvest of the Month, which probably lots of folks are familiar with. We also have a lot of activity around school gardens, and this sort of brings up another one of the challenge points that we have in facilitating sort of collaboration among these entities. So I mentioned before, right, we all have limited resources. And we've had some issues with some of our local community organizations in terms of their school garden programs and losing funding for those programs. At the same time, our health departments have overall reduced funding. So it's sort of a tough situation for everyone, and there can be some tensions when folks are looking at programs that they've run for many years that now they're trying to struggle to figure out how to keep going, and then you have the kind of public health folks coming in and just getting excited about these issues. So that's where we've really been trying to highlight what work has been done so that people who are just getting new to this can plug in and make sure that some of those existing efforts can continue. And it also really brings up the need for collaboration when we do all have limited resources. We need to be working together to use them as efficiently as we can. Some other areas of particular interest were around direct marketing, particularly around sort of what we call in California market match programs or the double up food buck SNAP incentive programs. So here's an area where there was a lot of interest from our food policy councils and our health departments. I don't know how many of you followed very closely the farm bill that passed in February of 2014, but those of you who did will know that we did get some federal funding for these market match incentive programs that give folks who are shopping usually at farmers markets with their SNAP or sometimes even WIC coupons to get more coupons to buy fresh fruits and vegetables when they're shopping at farmers markets. So there's a real need now for the public health community to help in making sure that these programs and communities are being implemented in good ways where there's a lot of evaluation set up so that we can continue collecting evidence and data for the sort of next round of legislation where we're going to need to be advocating for those programs. So I'll wrap it up here, but there's a lot of opportunities for alignment between public health and local community, especially through their food policy councils. Food policy councils can really provide an opportunity to engage with community stakeholders and leaders, and health departments are really needed in their capabilities around evaluation and research and really sort of adding credibility to those initiatives. There's also a need for coordinating around assessments and action plans, and in terms of making sure that we're all leveraging our resources to better achieve our mutual goals. So I'll wrap it up with that. Again, my name is Holly Calhoun, and there's my contact information if you have any questions.
Are there questions for Holly?
Yeah, you know, they are all online. Could everyone hear the question?
No.
Okay, so the question was if the community assessments, if the food system assessments are online, yes, they are. They're usually not all of them necessarily, and they're kind of housed with each of the Food Policy Council websites to the extent that some of them have those. So one of the things that we're working on with the California Food Policy Council is creating a new website to house a lot of information on behalf of some of the local councils, and that's an excellent point that we need to make those really user-friendly and available up there, and I can also share with you some if that's of particular interest to you.
Just to build on that, Johns Hopkins also has a food policy networks data that has a lot of things like food assessments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have some great resources up there. Yes.
How much is the California thing, or is it mandated countywide throughout the United States, or
what I'm talking about is a California-based initiative that was through our Office of Farm to Fork.
So are there these councils in other states?
There are a number of food policy councils at the local and state level across the country. To my knowledge, California is the only that's not actually officially affiliated with government. So sometimes they'll be sort of an arm of the local government, and that can have advantages in that they're very close to the policymakers, but they often then have to be pretty careful about what they actually do in terms of policy. So in California, we made the conscious decision to be sort of more of a grassroots organization. And I would be surprised if we don't see more and more councils in other states cropping up in the next few years. Great. So it varies depending on the councils themselves. They're all similarly to how councils across the country are structured differently. Each of the local councils are structured differently as well. But most of them try to have representation from sort of as broad of a range of the food system as they can. So they usually do actively recruit to make sure that they have different sectors represented. And oftentimes, the health is one of the people at the table. So what's great about using food policy councils as a means of kind of community engagement is that you can reach a large spectrum of different types of community stakeholders through them.